Show. And here's your host, Dave Archer and Wes Durham.
And good afternoon from Flowery Branch on a Monday here as the Falcons fall at Arizona yesterday, 27-13. The head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith, with us, of course, in our first half hour. And then defensive tackle Corey Peters will be along at the bottom of the hour. Smitty, it just didn't go well yesterday in any way, shape, or form, and you echoed that in your comments to the media a moment ago. This is, I know, disappointing and frustrating, but couldn't get anything going, it seemed like, from a consistency standpoint.
Well, we really struggled yesterday. I think there was some good play in some phases, yeah. In spurts, but nothing like the way it needs to be done. I felt like there was a 16-play period there defensively where we gave up 21 points and that we gave up the explosive plays. And when you give up explosive plays, they're going to usually lead to points. So we didn't do a very good job on the explosive plays.
Smitty, I know you guys want to be more physical in the run game, and obviously you're not getting what you want out of your run game to help accentuate what you want to do throwing the football. Because of the rules the way they are, and I know there's nothing you could do about the rules, how do you fix the physicality part of being able to run the ball and get after people physically?
Well, it's you are limited with what your options are in terms of practice time. You're only allowed to have one day a week in pads. You can one time during the season have two padded practices during the week. But I really think it's got to be an emphasis point. And what we've got to do is I think we've had some good physical practices when we've been in our padded days. Yeah. We've got to take it to the field consistently. And as you know, a football team it's a system. Yeah. And it's very systematic, and there are a lot of integral moving parts. And, you know, that smallest part breaks down in a real sophisticated system. It can really stop it from working. And right now we're finding ways to stop it from working.
Is some of that part of the confidence level of a guy going ahead and using the short step to get to the second level as opposed to maybe that little hesitation that allows a defensive player who's playing 90 miles an hour to crease you and fit the run and blow the play up? From a confidence level standpoint, that looks to me a little bit like part of the issue of guys just going and playing and play football.
Well, you've got to go out there and play with confidence. You've got to have confidence in yourself, and you got to have the confidence in the guy that's lining up to the right of you and to the left of you. And you got to have accountability to one another. And when you have confidence and accountability, then it's going to enhance your chances of being successful. And we're not that far off from being efficient running the football, even though statistically the last two games it's not even been close to where we need it to be. And then yesterday it was kind of tough because we got down by three scores. Yeah. And when you get down by three scores, the run game's basically out the window.
You made a concerted effort, it looked like, and obviously the layman, us watching it from afar, not knowing the game plan, it looked like you made a concerted effort to run to your left side. Is there a comfort zone in running behind Justin Blaylock and Lamar, or is that just that was just the way this plan played out this weekend?
Well, we are have a lot of confidence in Justin Blaylock there on the left side, but a lot of it has to do with who lines up on the defensive right side.
Mm-hmm. They were pretty good up front.
Yes, they were, and so we had some things that we wanted to try to do, and I thought we got some movement there on the left side. We struggled a little bit in cutting off the backside yesterday. So some of the backside blocks, they weren't necessarily the blocks at the point of attack that weren't executed. It was some of the things that were done on the backside. And that was what I was alluding to in terms of, you know, a football team, an offense, a defense, it's a system, and you've got to make sure that all your parts are working.
Sure.
Because something that happens that you think is not going to be prevalent to the play on the backside can cause the play to be unsuccessful, even though you're successful there at the point of attack.
The Mike Smith Coaches Show from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. When you get back here, and it's a long trip out west, and you come back, and now we touched on this yesterday after the ball game a little bit in our television visit, that you get what you get out of this, and then you move forward. You can't linger here. This is a – you guys have got to get this thing going and get fixed what you can get fixed prior to Sunday's ball game with Carolina and Charlotte. As you look at – is there a punch list of what you got to get done first in terms of cleaning this up, or are you concerned about all of it at this point?
Oh, absolutely. You got to prioritize what you're going to do, and I think that's what you do as a coaching staff. And the first thing that we have to do is we've got to make the corrections. And tonight, since we got back in so early this morning, mm-hmm. we will not have our meeting with our players till 6 o'clock tonight. So we'll have our team meeting at 6, and we'll revisit the game from yesterday, make the corrections, not only in a team setting, but in a unit setting. And when I mean unit offense and defense, and right. then break it down into position groups. But there are a lot of things that we have to get corrected. There's some things that we did schematically that really wasn't about them. It was about us. Mm-hmm. Some simple things. For example, when you give up an 80-yard run and you lose the edge of your defense, there's someone that's always responsible, as you guys know, to turn the play back in. And we lost our edge on that 80-yard run, and that was a one-play 80-yard drive, and that was in that sequence of those three consecutive series there in the first half where we gave up 21 points on the defensive side. I do believe that the defense did a nice job in the second half and being put in some tough situations. They were put in some short yardage or short field situations with some of the turnovers and ended up fighting back and showing some resiliency. So there's always some positives. But there's not a whole lot when you don't get the win. And, this game probably sticks the most with our guys because we did not even come close to playing to the level that we're capable of playing.
Smitty, and it's part of the job description, I know, having been around a lot of coaches, that a part of it is the psychology part of it that you have to do with your team and when to push certain buttons. This is an area over the 5 years, plus years you've been here, you guys have not been in this situation where you've 2-5, where there's been a stretch of losses to where there's a success, the success hasn't been there. What do you do? Is this something you trust with the players? I know you have a player council. It's a very good one, veteran players. How do you handle that from making sure, because you got so many young players on your team, that they don't get caught up in this has existed here for the last couple of weeks?
Well, one of the things that we talk about all the time, whether you're winning or losing, is that you can't listen to the noise. When things are going well, there's a lot of noise out there, and it's all good stuff. It's all positive, and really you don't want to be listening to that. And conversely, when things aren't going your way, there's a lot of noise outside. This is the most popular game. We've got to focus on what we can control. And for our young players specifically, they've got to learn from the older players about how they handle that. And I think our mentors in our football locker room are doing a good job. These young guys are getting on the job experience, really they are, and there were a couple of plays yesterday that were great learning tools for our young players. Unfortunately, they didn't help us win the ball game. They were learning tools that we're going to learn from, and we just got to learn from it and move on. But they were specific. There were some specific plays in there where we didn't give our chance to succeed, and it might have been the first time that they'd really seen that situation in a game. So they're getting on-the-job training, so to speak.
Smitty, we talk about those young guys, and David, I remarked on it yesterday. Drew Davis and Darius Johnson and those guys have just really done a nice job. I mean, you've put them up to bat here in the last couple of weeks, and seemingly they've answered the call for you in terms of the receiving game.
They have. In terms of passing and throwing the football, they've done a very good job. I think that as a wide receiver, the first thing that you look at is, can they catch the football? And those guys have proven that they can, and they've done a very nice job for us. The things, the little intricacies that we've got to get better at in the wide receiver group is these guys are not as experienced in terms of getting involved in the run game. They're going to be an integral part. As I mentioned in my press conference this afternoon, it's not always what you think when you see it on tape or you see it on TV. everybody's involved. And some of the reasons that we weren't successful is that we weren't getting the, you know, getting the ball to the second level, and we couldn't get the ball to the second level because we weren't blocking the eighth element, that eighth man in the box when they were loading the box on us yesterday.
All right, we'll take a break with Coach. Come back. More to come from Flowery Branch. We continue with Mike Smith and his Monday visit with us. Don't forget, Pizza Hut's $10 any deal is back. Perfect for the ball game tonight. Seahawks and Rams in St. Louis. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. Back to Flowery Branch after this on 7i in the Zone.
Davis there, touchdown Atlanta. So the Falcons get their first touchdown of the day with 4:38 to play in the ball game. Matt Ryan to Drew Davis.
Hey, guys, want to introduce you to Verizon Edge. Pretty cool opportunity Verizon's provided for you. Pick a phone, pay a monthly installment, enjoy the phone for 6 months or until at least 50% of the phone's paid off. And then you can edge up. You can trade up and get another device. So it's pretty cool. It's an opportunity for you to have a little versatility in your plan only from Verizon.
And a catch from Drew Davis, our SunTrust shining play of the ball game. SunTrust, how can we help you shine today? With Dave Archer, Wes Durham, Coach Mike Smith with us back here at Flowery Branch. Falcons go to Charlotte on Sunday to meet a Panther team that's kind of gotten things figured out after a tough start. They've now won three straight, including the victory at Tampa last Thursday night at Raymond James Stadium. And a Carolina team that also... Smitty, I hate to say this, could be getting healthier. Jonathan Stewart might actually get back in the lineup for him. I know that he went through some practice sessions last week. He's not on the active roster as of yet. Could happen, I guess, tomorrow or Wednesday, I guess, when they finally make those roster moves. But this is a team, and you mentioned this, pretty good defensively, but now starting to play with a little bit of confidence what they've done offensively with Mike Shula taking the reins.
Yeah, they've done a very nice job offensively the last 3 weeks. Cam Newton is playing with a lot of confidence, and as you know, he's a guy that can take over a game singly-handed, and he's doing a very good job of running the offense. They are running some of the read option stuff where he's still in part of that scheme, but they're also doing some other things, and they've been about as efficient. He's been throwing the football. He's been about as efficient as any quarterback in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. His completion percentage is out of the roof. And then defensively, I don't know that it's been a while since I've seen a defense play like this in terms of giving up points in the first half. I think there's a real interesting stat that they haven't given up many points in the first half of the
23.
Ball. Yeah.
In the first seven ball games. Yeah.
Staking themselves to a nice start. Smitty, when you look at that front seven, and I know you're still late night, so still trying to get dialed in on what the Panthers are going to have to offer for you, but they've made a concerted effort to attack the defensive line. Obviously, drafting the two kids, playing the interior, they got a nice rotation there. And then a linebacker in Luke Kuechly that really seems to be a very instinctual player that looks like he gets better and better every week.
Oh, he's a very good middle linebacker, and the two guys, the big guys that they drafted inside, are going to demand that you put four hands on him, and that's going to keep him clean. And when you've got a linebacker that can be clean to the ball, he's going to make a lot of plays. And he's a very smart, understands the game of football middle linebacker, and I know he's new to the league, but he sure is playing as well as any middle linebacker in the NFL.
You've coached some very physical defenses. In Jacksonville, you had some very physical defensive fronts. You had some very good defenses in Baltimore. What do you try to do to a team that's really a physical group up front? They obviously look like they can run some, so it's not like they can't run. But what do you do to a team like that to try to expose them a little bit?
Well, it's hard to move the football on a really dominant front seven, and what I think you have to do is you have to try to keep them off balance in terms of what you're doing formationally. Try to give them some different looks, not give them the same look where they can kind of clue in and key into what you're trying to do. But it really is going to come down. You've got to get four hands on the big inside guys and make sure that you get movement there when you're trying to run the football. Because those defensive tackles, the ones that I've had an opportunity to coach, if you don't get four hands on them, meaning two players, then they're going to they're going to be in your backfield, and they're going to be very disruptive.
Well, at some point, you can devise all sorts of schemes and stuff. At some point, you got to come off the ball and block people and get after people physically on your side of the ball.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's about winning the line of scrimmage since football was
begin.
It was about winning the line of scrimmage, and it's something that we have not done as efficiently, and we need to do it much better. We know that you have to at some point in time be able to run the football. And the last 2 weeks, if you're looking at markers that are not up to where they need to be, that's one of them. And we've got Steven Jackson back this past week, first time back. So hopefully we'll see some improvement from him. And we've got to do a better job coaching, putting together a game plan to let our guys be successful running the football.
You mentioned earlier the possibility of Roddy White back on the practice field, running a little bit. Obviously, it would be before Wednesday before you know where he is status-wise. What would his return mean to your team in terms of your offensive package?
Oh, I think it would be big for our team. It would help our passing game, obviously. No, I think it will help our running game in terms of not seeing single high defenses.
Right.
More than likely now see some two high defenses, which would give us some better opportunities to run the football. And Roddy will help you in the running game as well, because Roddy's one of the most physical wide receivers in the NFL. He does an outstanding job of and takes pride in being a very good blocker. And when you get the blocking out there on the perimeter with the physical presence, you enhance your chances of getting explosive plays. And what I mean by explosive plays is runs over 12 yards and passes over 20 yards. And I think Roddy gives us the opportunity to do both.
Were you able to see anything, and I know it was sketchy from a run game standpoint, you've talked about it at length at nauseam, I'm sure in your mind, no question about, but were you able to see enough from Steven to where you think that he's back to where you maybe his workload is increased, if you have some success, that he would be able to carry it 15, 20 times a year, which I had a chance to give it to him that many times?
Oh, it'd be great to have 20 rushing attempts with
that would mean some good stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that means that we're having some repeat runs and moving in the moving the football on the ground. He had a great week building up to the game in terms of his workload. I thought that they had no ill effects from playing in the ball game. Mm. So we're anticipating that come Wednesday he'll be full speed. We don't know the status of Jason Snelling. Jason not only helps us in the offense, but he is an integral part of our special teams. And I do want to mention there were some very positive things in special teams yesterday.
Absolutely.
In terms of Matt Boscher, his ability to punt the football directionally. We held a very good punt returner to negative yardage. And so there's always some positives, but they don't outweigh the negatives, especially when you don't get the outcome that you want, guys. It's really tough. It's really tough to talk about the positive things when you didn't get the outcome, because ultimately we're judged. We get 16 opportunities, and we're judged by what happens on those 16 game days.
Do you ever – last thing for you from me. Do you ever get concerned – and I think I know the answer to this, because I've gotten to know the guy. Tough day yesterday for Ryan. He was under a lot of heat yesterday. Made a couple – in his own estimation, made a couple of ill-advised decisions with the football. Is that a guy, and then this is more of a for a fan, I know what the answer is going to be, do you ever get concerned about maybe visiting with Matt after a game like that?
Oh, we'll visit, but we visit every day. I have no concern. Matt is his own biggest critic. He's already been in, watched tape this morning, and he saw what he needs to improve on, and saw what happened in that ball game, and he's our leader. He'll bounce back. He'll be ready to go when we have our meetings tonight, we'll go through, we'll go through the meetings, and then when we get out there on the practice field on Wednesday, we're moving forward and we're on one thing and one focus, and that's the Carolina Panthers and beating them in all three phases.
You know, Smitty, it's interesting. I asked him along those lines in our TV visit after the ball game yesterday about the leadership concept, because I know how he analyzes his own play. And at the same time, he's a leader in your football team. And at times like this, that leadership values and qualities come into play here. And I said, how do you separate Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan's play with Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan's leadership? He said, the best way I can lead is to play as well as I can.
Yep.
That's a pretty strong statement about where he finds himself in the role he has with the team.
Yes. And most team leaders are your best players. The majority of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, your team leaders are your best players. I think it goes hand in hand most of the time, because it's all about making plays. This is a production business for all of us, players, coaches. That's what it's all about. And when you play well, then you have credibility. And when you have credibility, whether it's locker room cred, street cred, however you want to say it, you have an easier chance to lead.
You know, it's interesting. You started our visit here this afternoon about systems and the big system of football. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, getting the system to work the right way requires as much detail as what sometimes what you find the piece is broken, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. Or using the right kind of silicone to grease it up.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start talking about something that's very complicated, sometimes analyzing and trying to figure out what the issue and what the problem is not always that, is not always that simple to identify.
All right. Thanks as always for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank
you. Falcons head coach Mike Smith. Falcons and Panthers coming up on Sunday in Charlotte at 1:00. AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 11 a.m. Stay tuned. Corey Peters with us in the players segment of the program after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Get NFL Mobile. Call Star NFL now to get NFL Mobile. Live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. You got NFL Red Zone. You can watch every touchdown on every Sunday game. Of course, 24/7 news from the NFL. Never be without football. NFL Mobile only from Verizon.
And that's our Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game, Asante Samuel's 51st career interception. And, of course, it's brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch online at AckermanSecurity.com. Corey Peters joins us in the players segment of the Mike Smith Show on a Monday from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Welcome back. Thanks for the time. Late night getting back, and you guys apparently, according to Coach Smith, get started here about 6 o'clock with the meetings and so forth. So thanks for coming in early.
Yeah. It's no problem. Just in getting my workout, so it's no problem for me to come over and do the show.
All right. Physically, what kind of trip is that for you guys?
It's tough. Personally, I like to go to the West Coast because you get to go a day early.
Sure.
And you get an opportunity to kind of eat, and I like to eat. So kind of see what the restaurants and that kind of thing have to offer. But it is definitely rough coming back. We got back about 1:30 and then take the bus. So I got home 3:30, so. It's always rough to have to get a late start today, which, leads into Tuesday. So, that's how it goes.
Corey, where's the frustration level go for you? You've had a lot of success since you've been here. Getting here as a third-round pick out of Kentucky. You guys have realized a lot of success here. This has been a rough year so far. What do you do as a veteran player to try to help kind of push the ship the other direction?
Well, I think that it's always important to just keep grinding. I think that the process that we've had, that hasn't changed since I've been there. So I believe a lot in the process. And honestly, I feel like our failures have come, just from not completing games, not finishing games. We've been in a lot of games, that really I haven't seen any difference from years past, except we didn't finish the way that we have in the past. So, I think that we just got to kind of stay the course and, get some little things fixed. Like yesterday, for example, on defense, we gave up 3 big plays on 3 touchdown drives. And, I think that was, that was the difference. We dug ourselves a hole that we couldn't quite get out of. And, those big plays will destroy you. And we got to do a better job of not letting that happen.
Because it's happening at all three levels. And when you start talking about – you talk about three – I could narrow it down to two plays. I know you guys gave up the touchdown to Fitzgerald where he got in behind the coverage and scored a touchdown in the red zone. But you could look at the 51-yard touchdown pass where they went down the middle, a little dull move, and then Ellington's 80-yard run. They had right at 300 yards of offense. Mm-hmm. You take those two plays away, and all of a sudden you get them right around 200 to under 200 yards of offense, which is winning defensive football. And you limited them to 3 for 10 on third down. All those numbers equate, but the two big plays. So from a frustration, what do you tell? You got so many young players on your side of the ball. I mean, at one point, I know you as a defensive tackle sitting there, and you look outside, and there's two rookies on the edge. There's two rookies standing behind you, and there's two rookies in the back end.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, we've got a lot of confidence in those guys. Those guys have been here since the start of training camp. They've had some success in practice, some success in games. And I know that they're a very confident bunch, but it's just important for them not to get frustrated, to continue to play hard and continue to learn. And, you know, for me, as a guy that was able to get some time as a rookie, I understand how that goes. And we were an older defense back then, so I felt a lot of pressure to not be the guy to make a mistake. But as a whole, the defense is younger right now, so it's important for those guys to kind of keep their confidence up and understand that they're going to make some mistakes. That's all right. We're going to have to come together and just continue to fight through it.
Nice stuff with Corey Peters. Of course, he's playing alongside a guy like Jonathan Babineau, and Arch and I have touched on this a handful of times already during the course of the season. He's having a great year. What is his presence? What is his leadership? What's a guy like that given you in your career – that you've learned from?
Well, he's a great professional. Does a great job taking care of his body. Just watching him and how he behaves around the building, that's been very important for me to kind of learn from. But also playing beside him, he's a very disruptive defensive tackle. He gets in the backfield, makes a lot of plays. I think he had maybe 3 TFLs yesterday.
Yep.
You know, but he does that, and it's great for our defense up front, and I think we play well together, kind of mesh off one another. And you know, I think he's allowed me to become a better player. Just some of the things that he's taught me and how to watch film, what to look for, understanding what the offense is trying to do to us. You know, I think he's been very important for me personally and the defense as a whole.
Well, between the two of you, between you and Jonathan, 10 tackles, 2 sacks, and 4 tackles for loss between the two, Corey Peters and Jonathan Babineau, two of the veteran players up front for this Falcon defensive front. Corey, there's been a lot of attention focused on the offensive line. It's a young offensive line. It's a group that a couple of them drafted in second, third round guys that were drafted in a very similar round that you were drafted in. But they've had a tough time meshing. Some of that's had to do with injury. What do you say as a defense? You practice against them every day. Is there something from a defensive lineman standpoint that you can impart on them to keep them? And it may be the same message you're using with your young players on defense.
Well, you know, just from my perspective, the only thing that we can do is, you know, every day we go out to practice is try to beat them, you know, try to beat them. And I think that'll make them better. That makes us better. You know, so we make sure we go all out when we have an opportunity to go against those guys. And then when they're going against the scout team, you know, I know the defensive line coach, Ray Hamilton, always is very hard on our scout team defensive line about really getting after them and trying to improve themselves and in that way making them better. You know, but as far as offensive line play is concerned, I think it is very important for them to work well together, because I've seen guys that couldn't block anybody one-on-one. You know, you put those guys together and get them to play for a while together, and they understand, you know, how each other plays. And, you know, together they're almost unstoppable.
Corey, it's interesting. We were touching on the dynamic of this team, and obviously every team in the league deals with a percentage of the roster of young guys and then middle of the road in their career and then veteran guys. Along their defensive front, I was just thinking here, there are times when Malachi Goodman's at defensive end and OCU Manure might be the other defensive end, and then it's you and Jonathan Babineau. I mean, you're going through the gamut right there. I mean, a guy like Goodman has got a lot of physical tools, but he just hasn't played enough in this league. He's had some moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you learn when you see guys like that, as opposed to maybe at the other end, what do you – get from a guy like Umanyora who came to the team this year?
Well, OC is great for the locker room. He has a lot of experiences, both good and bad. Up in New York, they had some good years, some bad years, some Super Bowl years, of course. You know, and he's been great for our locker room, especially the defensive line, really kind of bringing some fresh air in there, teaching us some new things. Mm-hmm. Because the years that he was in New York, they had a really dominant defensive line. So kind of brought some attitude things and kind of helped us understand some things. But, you know, as far as the young guys on the defensive line, I think that, you know, everybody just has to kind of take them under their wing. And I think we got some good guys. I think Malachi is a kind of a freak athletically.
He's got some huge hands.
Arms and, yeah, he's kind of awkward. Like, but I think that once he puts it together, I think that he's, you know, very capable. I think that he's going to, you know, be a multi-sack a year kind of guy.
Yeah.
Falcons defensive lineman Corey Peters with us here on the player portion of the Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. By the way, the Falcons scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter yesterday, which means you can save $150 instantly on four tires and an alignment. Got to go in today, though. Got to go see your local Kauffman Tire location. You can trust Kauffman Tire. They are the tire guys.
Panthers come up on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Charlotte. Division ball game. Nobody has to tell you how big a ball game that is, right?
Right. You know, Panthers, it's a division game. We always want to get after those guys. You know, they've had some success against us in the past, and it's always going to be a dogfight when we go, especially when we play there.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's a ball game where it's got a little bit more to it than just a regular game because of the rivalry, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely some guys on both sides that don't really care for one another. And
see a lot of each other in the off season, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not a far trip. A lot of those guys spend a lot of time in Atlanta. And, you know, we got some guys that played with some of those guys in college as well. So it's always going to be an interesting game. And you know, moving forward in the season, every game is that much more important, you know, and we got to have it.
Corey, being the fan out there, I think kind of wonders how a player, especially we talked about you guys have had success in your years here, not off to the start you'd like. Mm-hmm. As a human being, do you allow yourself to kind of look at the landscape of what the NFC looks like right now, knowing that there is a pretty good steep hill here for you to climb, still doable, but fairly steep? Do you allow yourself to look at that, or do you just kind of keep fine focused on what's coming up this week?
I think it's impossible to not kind of understand what's going on unless you're going to just turn off your TV completely and get off of Twitter and everything, you know, and but I think everybody knows what's going on, the hole that we're in. But I think that it's also very important to understand that you can't win, you know, however many games without winning the first one. So, you know, this week we're going to focus on the Panthers and try to get that one. And, you know, we'll do that for the rest of the season.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back more with Corey Peters at Flowery Branch. We're going to let him answer our Ford Defend the Dome question of the week as well. It's a good one. We'll do that as well when Dave Archer and I come back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
Hi, this back at the 14-yard line.
Introducing Verizon Edge, a new plan to let you get a Verizon 4G LTE phone when you want it. No down payment, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only from Verizon.
And our man CP91's here, Corey Peters, visiting with Archer and myself on the Mike Smith Show. All right, you ready for this? Ready for the Ford Defend the Dome question?
I'm ready.
Each week what we do is folks get a chance to submit a question at defendthedome.com. If we pick their question, they get a $50 gift card to NFLShop.com. Not bad, huh?
Right.
All right, here's the question from Pendleton, Oregon, Arch.
Pendleton?
Yeah, not familiar with the area.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice area.
Yeah, David Smith wants to know, what are the benefits of Mike Nolan being on the sideline? You of course, then would become the perfect person to ask this question, Corey.
You know, I think that since he's been down on the sideline, he does a great job of calling the defense up and making sure everybody's aware of the situation. An example in yesterday's game, end of the game, 4-minute situation when we need to get a three and out and try to get the ball back to the offense. Just call everybody up and make sure that everybody understands the situation, what they're going to try to do, and what we want to get accomplished, what might be the calls that we're going to get. And then also, you know, it's an opportunity for him to look us in the eye. And, you know, I think that's always important, especially in a game of football, making sure that everybody's on the same page and everybody's listening.
Yeah, you've played it both ways. You've had, at this level, coordinator upstairs, coordinator downstairs, same thing in college.
Right, right.
You had guys go up and come down. Does it matter to players? Is every player is different, though, right?
Well, I think it kind of depends on personalities. the personality of the player and then the personality of the defensive coordinator. If you got a defensive coordinator that's going to cuss you, you might want him upstairs, you know. So, I mean, it just depends. But Mike's not really – he's not really like that kind of guy, you know. I think him moving down has kind of been good for us. You know, he's always positive on the sideline, making sure everybody's aware of what's going on. And, you know, he calls us up 3 or 4 times a game, so that's good.
Corey, I know you're excited about some of the young players that are on this team, but having played, I know there's probably some wide-eyed moments for some of these kids.
Right.
You lose your play caller in Witherspoon. He goes down. Dent gets hurt. Another play caller goes down. And now all of a sudden you got a couple of young guys that are calling the defense potentially for you. But has there been any – I know nothing's been funny about this season so far, but have there been some kind of some chuckle-at moments that with some of these guys trying to figure out what the hell to call for you guys?
Definitely in practice. You know, a couple times that they'll give us the call and everybody's just like, what is that? but they're coming along. I think the important thing that we got to get what we've gotten them to realize is that as linebackers, you know, you're in charge, you know, regardless of if you don't know anything.
You see supremacy, right?
right. But whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Even if I know that it's wrong. But, you know, because the way I've been kind of raised in football is if everybody's playing the same call, even if it's maybe not the best call, we can get out of the
go down. Full speed. Yeah.
Right. But if you got 3 different people doing 3 different things, then, you know, that's when you get beat. But, you know, just take charge. If you think that's the call, then make the call and we'll play it. If it's wrong, we'll get it fixed on the sideline. But I think that they've done a good job with communicating and getting us where we need to be.
How much has William Moore and Thomas DeCou taken on a little bit more of a role of trying to get everybody direct in traffic and stuff? Have they been able to do any of that stuff for you?
In our defense, the safeties are responsible for a lot of communication, especially in the secondary. And I know that with the injury situations, it has been times where the headset has had to go to one of those guys.
Okay.
Because of, you know, you got to have that guy on the field every play.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's kind of weird. But, you know, we've done a good job, I think, of getting, like, different communications in and making sure that everybody's on the same page.
Corey, when you look at kind of your growth as a player, I remember a couple of years ago the Falcons lost in overtime at Pittsburgh in your first game, and we were on that bus going to the airport, and, you know, it was kind of running 100 miles an hour that day.
Right.
How far – what's that life been like? What's that journey been like the last couple of years for you? I mean, what's the biggest change?
I think that my position in the locker room is honestly the biggest change, especially in the defensive line room, you know, because I'm one of the older guys now. So,
in just 3 years, right?
Right. And that's – it was a – I mean, I don't want to say it was a weird transition, but it's definitely different. Mm-hmm. You know, going from the guy asking questions to the older guys to some of the younger guys asking you those questions. And, you know, but that's been the biggest adjustment, I think, that I've grown as a player. My understanding of the game is much more advanced than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that I can continue to improve. I'm not happy with where I am, but I am, you know, pleased with some of the progressions that I've made.
You played on some really good defensive lines at Kentucky. When you were in college, how do you like where the Cats are going? You mentioned a little bit at the break about what Mark's trying to do up there.
They've only won 1 game this year, but you know I've seen a lot more fighting those guys, and I try to catch every game if I can.
Well, you're serious about it now. Yeah, you're just not dialed in every once in a while.
So you know I'm happy with the way they've been fighting. I still got hope. I think that they got the tough part of their SEC schedule out of the way early, so they still have Vandy, Missouri. In Georgia,
Tennessee.
Yeah. So
that's the lighter part of the schedule.
You know, I know, but if you look at they played
the first.
They started with Louisville, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama.
Wow.
That was the first, and then they came out of that. They had Mississippi State last week.
Near miss.
Yeah. So I hope to get, you know, 2 of those games. Probably Georgia, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there it is.
Okay,
yeah, there you have it.
Keem Dent, if you're listening, Corey, very interested in putting something together with you.
But you're a Louisville guy who played at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So with the way things are going at Louisville, How does the Louisville guy who played at Kentucky handle all that?
Well,
it's still UK U of L, right?
Yeah, I hate Louisville. I hate the University of Louisville. So I ain't.
How you and HD get along?
I mean, he's cool. You know, we go back and forth. You know, they're on top right now, but you know, I think when it comes down to it, I was 3-1 versus Louisville, and he was 3-1 versus Kentucky. But his senior year, we won. So,
So the one crossover game, you got him.
Yeah. So
nice.
You know, it's kind of. That's what it always comes down to, and then he says, "Do you have a BCS win?" You know, because they
nice threw BCS on you.
That's what he always comes back to. But you know, at the end of the day, they have a good program. I can't be mad at that. I actually like their coach. I like Charlie Strong.
Right?
I think he does a great job. You know, and they make it tough to kind of recruit in state.
And he
well.
And your college coach are friends,
right? Right,
Joker
so
Phillips.
They go
right?
way back. So. At the end of the day, you know, I'm going to always dislike the University of Louisville. And I was rooting for Central Florida, and I'm going to root for anybody else that they play. But, you know, I think they pretty much blew their shot, you know, to do something great this year.
This is very similar to the problems that Archer and Babineau have.
Yeah, Babs is always killing me because Iowa generally beats Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So I don't get anything out of that.
Yeah,
so.
It's rough. It's rough. But, you know, we're going to come back, and it kind of – It just kind of flows back and forth, and you know we'll be back on top. Soon.
Corey, let me ask you: the Carson Palmer's one kind of playing personality. Cam Newton's at the other end of the spectrum. What's the preparation like in contrast from one week to the next with these guys?
Well, it's huge. It's a completely different type of offense as well. So on the defensive line, especially our ends, had to do a great job. You know, some of the read option type things, and then Cam's so athletic. So big and strong and fast. So, you know, we got to do a great job as a defensive line to try to keep him in the pocket. And when we get our opportunities to get him on the ground, because he's hurt us with his feet in years past, and, you know, he can hurt us with his arm as well.
You talk about how big he is, and I think people see Carson Palmer. Arch talks about this.
Big man.
Carson Palmer's a big guy. Cam Newton is a big guy.
Big. Yeah, he's like a defensive end out there, you know, a big defensive end. So, I mean, you know, he's a strong guy. And I remember him at Auburn, you know, every time they just need 1 yard, everybody know what they're running. Quarterback power, quarterback draw, something like that. And, you know, you just couldn't stop it. But, you know, he's a big, strong guy. We got to do our best. We got to get a lot of hats to him and try our best to stop him.
We were talking about some college ball there for a minute. How much does some of the thing – because you're seeing some stuff now in the National Football League that are college-based. It used to be the NFL was the kind of the innovator. Maybe college took some of the innovations from the NFL and brought it back. But now you're seeing it the other way around, a lot more. How much of what you saw in college – and they were running a lot of this stuff while you were still playing college ball – that gives you maybe a little bit of an advantage of how to play D tackle against some of this stuff.
Well, I mean, it's you know, I think the thing, the kind of crazy thing is, I don't think that it's hard to kind of figure out what's going on. It's just really hard to stop. And if they get a flow going, they do it in that hurry up and all of that, it can become very difficult to stop. But it's a lot of times when you're playing the read option teams that you kind of understand what's about to happen, what you're going to get. But it's very difficult to stop. It's a lot of different. Options that go along with it. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. So I think that's the tough part about it. You know, and you really have to be locked in on the game plan, and you kind of got to stay ahead of the chains.
Tell me about the no huddle. I think there's a lot of fans that are fascinated with this up, not just no huddle, but up tempo, the kind of the race car mentality. Mm-hmm. There's the up tempo that we see now. It seems like everybody's running something at the line of scrimmage. But then it's the speed up tempo. Talk me through what you need to do. Is it a matter of just trying to survive and stay in your gap? What are you trying to do there when it starts to really stretch plays together?
Well, it's very difficult because, they'll run one play, and then you got to get back to the line. You have to get the call. Then you have to figure out the strength of the offense so you can figure out where to line up. And, you know, at that point, you don't really have your time to go through, you know, your pre-snap progressions as a defensive player. When I line up, I like to – look at the offensive formation, try to understand what they do out of this formation, what blocks I could get up front. But when they're going really fast, sometimes you don't have, you know, the opportunity to do that. So you just kind of lining up and just playing your technique. And sometimes that's, you know, that's fine.
Right.
But
Is there a moment where the brain just goes on you at some point? If they string six, seven, eight plays together, you just mentally melt it down?
Well, it can.
Yeah.
It can. And at that point, hopefully the offensive lineman is as tired as you are.
Yeah.
So, hopefully at that point you just got to get lined up and just kind of gut it out.
You know, it's interesting. For just the couple, 3 years in the league, you've gone through quite a bit here, haven't
mm-hmm.
you? I mean, the situation last year with your injury, you come mm-hmm. back, you have a really productive season on a short number of games, but now all of a sudden you guys are having to fight this thing mentally as much as you are physically, I guess.
This year has been a very difficult one for me, because since I've been here, we've had nothing but success, 10-6, 13-3, so – I think that everybody in the locker room is still locked in on this year, though. I think that we still feel like we can string some things together and make some things happen. So, we're moving forward. We're getting ready for Carolina, and, we're going to stay positive.
Good, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks, Corey.
Appreciate you, man.
No problem.
All right, Corey Peters joining us on the Mike Smith Show from Flowery Branch. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up next on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.